Beyond Athletic, episode 15.
You have to remember that people are watching you, and it's important that your character speaks for itself in a positive way, that you never want anybody to have any negative things to say about you.
Jumbo! You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Beyond Athletic podcast. Today, got a lovely guest, Arielle Wilson of Penn State University. She was a four-time champion with them. She's a good friend, and today we get into her road, how she started in volleyball, where she grew up in a pretty rough area of Chicago, how she made it to university and became a four-time champion with Penn State when her first plans did not come through. Then how she moved on to pro and some of the struggles, plus the ups that she's had with playing in Poland, Azerbaijan, Indonesia, and now for Champions League Italian team. And this all comes on the same day that Penn State is playing in the finals of the NCAA again with Russ Rose, and it's no surprise. So I thought it'd be a special treat to release this today, and fingers crossed, I hope Penn State does very well. And if they take home another trophy, great. But I got to tell you, I'm rooting for the underdogs, BYU, because that is a fantastic story to show you that you can't always be the ones on top and go home with the trophy. You got to work your butt off to get it because somebody else is always as hungry or more hungry than you. And no one knows that better than Ari. So I hope you enjoy the show. I apologize because there's some ticking noise in the beginning, but it goes away, I assure you, after a while. And there is very clear audio. As always, I'm definitely looking for people who are interested in donating to the show so that I can get great mics and equipment to make this the best possible show as possible, since this is a side project and just kind of something for me to give back to people because so many people have helped me along the way. So consider that, and if you do want to, make sure you press donate on the blog where you can find the show notes, which is beyondathletic.com/donate. And if you can, watch Penn State versus BYU today in the NCAA. Make sure if you do like the show, please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. If you leave a review, it helps people find us easier and it lets me know that you guys appreciate what this is all about. And remember, we're always looking for new guests. I love to have anybody in that is an athlete in any sport, anyone who contributes to athletes' lives in terms of mental training, physical training, people that enrich our minds, educators, writers. So if you have anybody in mind, you can go to beyondathletic.com/invite. Anyways, without any further ado, Arielle Wilson. Today we have on Arielle Wilson from Chicago. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I just got to see you soon. You were in Belgrade playing against a young team here that's really talented.
True. It was a really good time to see you and to be there in Belgrade.
Yeah. Did you get to see any of the city at all? Like even from the bus?
Maybe the rain. That was about it.
The rain. It's like black and rain the whole time here. It sucked. More like gray. It didn't get so, it got a little more black after you left. But anyway, so I want to tell people a little bit about why we know each other and why I have you on the show. But it's really an honor that you are on the show because I know you very well as a person and you are one of those people who are just great inside. and you're also a very decorated player. I know that we first chatted, I think I might have messaged you out of the blue when you were at Penn State, maybe your junior or senior year or something. Anyways, and I know we got to chatting like that, and then a couple of years later, we run into each other in the USA gym, and I'm like, what? What's happening right now? And I was so surprised to see you because, I mean, I'm never in America. And when I realized that it was you, I go, oh my God. And then we start hanging out. We had our little crew going, right? Mm-hmm. Hollywood. Yeah, that was good. That was good times. And then we hit it up one more time. You came to Indo this last year. And then we had another little crew, the Jay Duff, Ari Wilson, and let's say Miss Venezuela crew. That was a good time. How did you like Indo?
Indo was amazing while it lasted. I mean, the place is just very, very organized and nice, and they treat you well there. People are really nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you played in a different Indo from me. But the Indo I know is definitely very nice, but it's a little bit on the vacation volleyball side for me. A lot on the vacation side.
Okay, me too, but
but I'll let you get into that. Maybe you'll get a little more honest about Indo when we get through. But no, really, hats go off to Indo for organizing a pretty, really well organized tournament, actually, where you play like every weekend, right? I mean, there's tons of teams in one city, and they make it happen somehow.
True.
Anyways, so I want to tell people a little bit about you. So Ari's from Maywood, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. It's basically, you don't even know you're in a suburb of Chicago. It's so close. She went to Proviso East. You know how I get my foreign English going. You know how it is.
You talk about me.
Anyways. And let's say that's actually, Proviso was a really big school for basketball. I know it growing up. They have multiple championships. And tons of players have come out of there. Anyways, she was the first volleyball player to get her jersey retired, which is awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you went to Penn State after there, and Penn State is one of the powerhouses in volleyball for women and actually for men and for so many other sports. It's an excellent academic school, and in her 4 years there, she was four-time national champion, which is ridiculous, and she started as a freshman. Wow. After college, you started your overseas campaign. You played for Impel Guardia. Is it Guardia or Guardia?
Guardia.
Yeah. And then you went to Azrael Igdestashi and Lokomotiv. It's like, there's some words in foreign languages that I just don't ever try to learn how to say well. And those were a couple of them in a row. So.
Tongue twister.
Yeah, thanks for playing on all the tongue twisters. In Poland, you got MVP of a tournament. And then now you're in Italy playing for a Champions League team. Why don't you go and tell people the name of that team?
The name is Norm Mechanical, Piacenza, and it is a wonderful team. And they won the championship last year, and I also believe the year before that.
Yeah, so a history of just solid volleyball. Actually, a quick little tidbit, before Ari got to this team, she was in Italy, and I want people to hear this because volleyball right now is so volatile as a professional sport, and people like Ari and myself that want to pursue their dreams find it very, very turbulent. I mean, it's so difficult. She showed up, and her team basically folded. It went bankrupt.
The struggle.
I mean, I know we talked a little bit. You were there for close to a month or something, and then everything kind of hit the fan. And then really, really luckily, you got this deal, and I was just so happy because you belong on a championship team because you're a championship player. So, and I know you work really hard. Tell us your personal story. Give us a little insight into who Ari is.
Well, I grew up in Maywood, and I am the only child from my parents. My dad has two other daughters, so they're my half-sisters. We're really close, and one grew up with me, but then she moved away, and so while she was with us, I, you know, started playing sports, basketball, volleyball, and she actually had played volleyball too, so I guess I kind of like saw her playing it and thought, maybe I should do that too. So I started playing volleyball and basketball, and then when I got to high school, I stopped playing basketball as a junior. It was just too hard to do both sports year-round, so I chose to do volleyball because I felt like it was more feminine. I could be a girl and dress up, look cute, wear makeup, so I kind of fell in love with volleyball. After that, I was playing club volleyball where I got my letters of intent and stuff like that for volleyball, scholarships, full scholarships, to any university you can think of. And for me, this was like unheard of. So I started like kind of just visiting schools and stuff like that and local schools, mostly Big Ten schools, just because they were really close to my, you know, home. And Penn State was the farthest school. It was almost the last school I looked at. So I ended up taking a visit there to Penn State. And before that, I was actually gonna get going to commit to Purdue University. And I was just like in love with that school. And I called them. I was like, hey, I'm ready to commit. And the coach is like, you didn't get my my message? I'm like, no. Like, what message? What's going on? He's like, oh, we already committed another girl. And I was like, what? Oh. Like, heartbroken. Yeah. So, long story short, I ended up at Penn State, and the rest is history.
The rest is actually history.
Yeah, really.
Four-time champions. Jeez.
As a freshman, I came in and I was, Krista Hermato was one of the middles and Melissa Walbridge was another. She was a senior and Krista, I think, was a sophomore. So I know you guys know like all these girls from the USA team. We had a stacked team, Megan Hodge, Alicia Glass, Nicole Fawcett, Krista Hermato, like I said, Blair Brown, like a lot of girls came from Penn State. So,
yeah. Real powerhouse.
Yeah, really. It was crazy. And me, there was me, clueless, didn't know anything about volleyball. Coach would be like, Ari, do you know what's going on? I'm like, no. I'm just here to play. So I really like had to work hard in college to balance volleyball and do academics because it was just really stressful for me. And I learned a lot over the last 4 years just about me as a person, being a volleyball player, and just being on a dominant team. Like, it takes a lot of heart, a lot of tears, a lot of just like passion to be in that spot. And every single championship that we won, it was very, very different. Like, from my role as a freshman to my role as a senior, it was just very, very different. And I was just really blessed to be with a good group of girls and, you know, a good coach, and just everything about the situation was awesome.
Yeah. I love your humility is awesome. Ever since I've known you, actually, you're a very humble person. And just talking to you, you know, if you're going to go off of stereotypes and, you know, that kind of like brawn or that egoistic type player that you would associate sometimes to championship teams, you're so far from that. And it's such a breath of relief, you know, to see someone like that. So one thing I do want to do, going back really quick to your childhood, is I know that we grew up, let's say, kind of around the corner from each other.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up 15th in South St. Louis, and you grew up in Maywood, and I mean, literally, that's a, I don't know, 5 minutes drive down the highway, if that is it.
If you're speeding, no, I'm speeding.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Well, it's true. I always speed. Okay, it's like 8 minutes on the highway. Just true. Kidding. So I want you to tell people just a little bit about your experience as a kid on the west side of Chicago. Even though Maywood is considered a suburb, it's definitely not
the west side.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not your typical city, and it's definitely not the typical place for people to come up and do really well in life, let's say. I mean, it's definitely a struggle to get out of these situations. So tell us a little bit about life as a kid and what your neighborhood in that area was like.
I actually had a really good experience there. Like, okay, every place has its ups and downs, but you know, me growing up in Maywood, it was a good place. Like, for me, positive. There was the Boys and Girls Club. There was Stairway to the Stars, which was like for ballet and tap dancing. Mm-hmm. And then we had Flip Flop and Fly, which was like for flipping. And like, they're really famous, like Jesse White Tumblr.
I know them. They're amazing.
Yeah, it's just like so good for like the kids to have. And so I got into that stuff. My mom was so big on me, you know, doing something other than just being in the streets or hanging out with friends. So yeah. I was pretty busy as a kid. I just remember, you know, getting to high school and it being a lot of violence in my high school. At one particular year, there was maybe like 8 deaths of people either getting shot or a car accident or just like random just like deaths. And for us, it was a big, big loss because it was some of our friends. It was people we knew walking in the hallways every day. So it's kind of a rough area. Like, it's one of those areas where people never really leave. And, you know, the people that do make it out, they come back and people worship them. People look up to them and are very, very happy for them. Yeah. And as you said before, like, my high school is known for basketball. And I can name off a lot of basketball players. Shannon Brown, Doc Rivers, Michael Finley. Like, big name people that made it to the NBA. And they come back to our high school. They give camps. You know, the Michael Finley camp, Shannon Brown camp, like, it's pretty awesome. Free camps, or, you know, you go, you play basketball. And I remember doing that as a kid, too. And so, I mean, there's a lot of negative, but there's also a lot of positive that comes out of, you know, Maywood. And so, for me, the main focus was just to stay busy, really.
Thanks for sharing. I definitely wanted people to hear it because, like you said, we definitely grew up close to each other. I was lucky enough that my father finally got me out of there around third grade. And like we were talking in the pre-show, and I don't know why I wouldn't even share this, but I think people do need to hear it. Our neighborhood, like you said, up until third grade, I don't know how many people that were close to our family were shot or died in some kind of car crash or some house burning down randomly or, you know, paramedics running around outside the house trying to save people's lives and they're carrying guns and they have to act like cops because they will get shot because those people that they're trying to save were shot by somebody who wanted to kill them.
Exactly.
And that kind of world, it's hard to go, that's real. Mm-hmm. It's something you think would only be in a movie. And so anyways, I'm really proud of you for staying focused and thankfully that your mother was a great mom, obviously. And you know what? Speaking of coming back and giving back to the athletes, I would love to work with you with Elite Sports Students, the project that you know I have with especially that area, because I really want to give back because there's so many kids we could pull out of there through sports. So let's talk about that.
For sure. Yeah,
so,
let's do it.
Great. Listen, we know so much already now about your history, and I think people have a good picture of where you came from and where you are now. But what I want to do before we get into the little lessons that you've had or the big lessons, is there an inspirational quote or like just a success quote or motto?
Yeah, I'm really big on everything happens for a reason. Throughout my life, everything literally has happened, and I've been like, what is going on, you know, or wow, that really happened. And for me, it's important because it's not just a cliche. Like, it, you think things don't work out, and then another door opens, you know? And for me, it's so important to just keep going. Like, there's so many times when you can just be like, look, I don't want to deal with this. I want to give up. This sucks. And in life, that happens. And you just have to keep moving. Like, you just have to keep doing it and just know that everything will work out in the end.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason. I love in there that you said just keep going, just keep moving, because that is so important. And so for anybody out there that might ever get stuck or might feel like you're stuck, you're not actually stuck if you just keep moving forward. You know, you've just plateaued probably, and you keep moving forward, you're going to go up. So thank you for sharing. Now, what are you most, let's say, grateful for in life? And I don't want you to name a person right now, but I want you to just name off maybe two or three things that today you could wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm really grateful for that.
I'm grateful for life. Going back to where I come from and what maybe could have happened walking down the street or, you know, walking from school. I mean, I'm just very grateful for life at 25.
Yeah, I think this is the reason why I'm asking, is because recently I've really seen the power of gratitude, and through a lot of lessons through podcasts like this and others, I've been learning that, you know, sometimes I'm really taking life for granted, and the little things, like my beautiful little puppy that keeps me happy every day, like my friends like you that we've connected with and we have good relationships, and then we might lose a little bit of touch, but I'm still so grateful to have you in my life. So thank you for sharing. Now, listen, we all know that you're successful with your whole 4 championship rings and all that. I want you to tell people, though, there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. And there's a time, you know, I want to go back to a time where you failed or there was a huge obstacle that you had to overcome. And I want you to take us back to that time and put us in that moment so we can experience it like you did.
Wow. I feel like I've been out of college for 10 years now, but I would say I went to summer school every year just because it was an easy way to stay in shape and get extra work and do school work and try to balance the two. And for me, the hardest thing was failing a class and trying to do well in volleyball practice. I just remember speaking with my coach and being like, look, I can't come to practice today. Like, I have to study. And just being in the library literally all night and going to class from the library with slob and everything, like, it was rough. A rough life. I remember just feeling like a failure when I failed one of my classes, and I had to take that class over, obviously, and the second time around it went a lot better, but I just remember, like, crying at night, being like, how do I do this? What do I do? And just putting in the extra work, you know, tutoring and extra hours, and really being like, I know I'm here for volleyball, but school is way more important, so I need to take the day off today. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that my coach was very, very, like, helpful in that sense. Like, okay, all right, do it, you know?
Yeah, there's a couple things in there that I heard, but for sure that last part about school is just way more important than your sport. But also that you just had to step back and say, wait a minute, I can't let this go to waste. I've got to put everything into this. And then you failed. And then what you said is that you went to tutoring and you worked your butt off and things were totally different that second time around. And so my takeaway from that is that Yeah, in the beginning, you could have done that study. So that was your first failure, is that you didn't study well, you didn't prepare, right? But, no.
I wouldn't say that.
What would you say?
I would say that for me, it was just a challenge in how to study. Not because I didn't study well, but just what was I getting from the information? What stuff did I need to know, and what stuff did I miss maybe that, you know, was important in lecture or in slides?
Yeah. So then what you're saying is your method of studying, right? So you were studying hard, but you were just studying the wrong way. And so the tutors helped you learn how to study the correct way for that subject.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really important, actually, because sometimes we think we're doing things the right way, but we're really not. And that's a really important lesson. I'm glad you shared that with us, because I don't hear too many people who go back to the school failures, you know, because they are so important. And like you, I mean, for a long time in high school, I mean, sometimes I would study so hard and I go, oh my God, how did I just get a D or an F on that test? You know? And I remember my aha moment was when I turned it around junior year and finally figured it out. And yeah, but you obviously did well. You obviously came out of that. What was your main lesson, let's say, your main takeaway from that?
My main takeaway, I would say just really like going to a teacher if I needed more help, and maybe doing a one-on-one session with her, and really just like getting to the bottom of what I didn't understand or what I missed in lecture. Because, you know, as an athlete, you know, you travel, you miss school sometimes. Like we would go to the Final Four and we would have to take our finals on the road, you know, so just really having a good like communication with the teacher was very helpful for me.
Yeah, that's really important. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I could have learned that lesson early, like you. Just communicate with the teacher. And that lesson actually, it extends to everything in life, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to communicate with your teacher, communicate with your coach, communicate with your boss, you know? Communicate with your employees if you own a business. So communication is key. So listen, before we get to a little bit of like, let's say your aha moment and where you really felt like you're on top of the world because you have accomplished so much, I'd like to go back just to sport for a second and tell us a time where you felt maybe at a dead end or a crossroads where it's like, well, I could go this way and keep doing what I'm doing and not get the results, or I could go this way and get them. Was there a time like that for you?
For sure. And I haven't been playing professional for long, but I definitely learned very, very quick. I went to Poland and I like loved everything about that place. Now looking back, you know, like when you're in the moment, you're like, maybe there's something better. Maybe there is more money. Maybe there is not because Poland didn't have a high level, but maybe there's some other team, you know? And so when I left Poland, I didn't realize that life was about to be way different. So I ended up in Baku, Azerbaijan, and I realized that it was really a learning experience for me. Like, I didn't play. I was there to just observe, obviously. And they pay good money. So it was, for me, maybe a good experience just to know, you know, what I want in volleyball and what level and what place and what atmosphere I want, you know, to be involved in. And so now in Italy, I'm really, really, really loving it, because it's very, like, homey. It's very different. And the level is really good here.
Yeah, so moving back just really quick, I know you said that you had a really nice experience in Poland, and then Azerbaijan was quite the opposite. You said that there was, because you went for a different reason. What reason was that?
I thought maybe I go for the money, and for me it wasn't because I wanted to be greedy. It was more because just to see if I could play in that level or see what I can do at that level, and for me it didn't work out that way.
Yeah. So then you moved on from Baku to Italy. And in that time, what was that lesson for you? What was the crossroads where you went, this is the direction I have to go now?
For me, it was just getting back to my origin, like how I felt before all of this happened. When I was in college, I felt just like I could just play and not think about anything. There was no stress. There was just fun, laughter. Everybody liked each other. everybody was equal. It wasn't about this name, that name. And for me, it never has been about that. You know, it's about who's better, who works harder. And so for me in Italy now, I feel that I'm back to my normal self. Like, I don't have pressure. I just need to play hard, work hard, and just have fun, you know?
Yeah, that's really good that you're at that point. I know we talked a little bit in the pre-show about that, and these are the kind of things that professionals are going to come up against, you know? These decisions where you go, all right, how do I balance keeping this my passion and moving forward in my sport and being sufficiently paid to do that, you know? Because unfortunately, I'm sure that you're going to play volleyball even when you can't get paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, right now, if we're going abroad for 8 months or 6 months or whatever, we're leaving everything we know. And even if we weren't, we're playing full time, we need to get compensated in some way if we don't have some other means, right? And so that's when it becomes really, really hard, Ari, and I hear you, you know? I hear how you don't, it's not that you're greedy, it's just that you want to try and make the ends meet. You want to try and get some savings because you don't know how long your career will last. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it's like, is the value of this decision going to be worth the outcome?
For sure.
So now what I'd like to do is you went through some of your college career and now some of your pro career, and we know that you had some ups and downs. But now I want you to take us back to your proudest moment, and I want you to highlight for us, take us back to that moment in your life.
Oh, I have a good one. Proudest moment was I was at the All-American Banquet, and they have, you know, Misty May, Karch Karai was there. Like big names, you know, all the players you can think of from different schools. So everybody's there and you're up on stage and you're eating with, you know, the All-Americans and the top athletes that finished that year. And I just remember Cassidy Lickman being asked the question, if you could play with any volleyball player, who would it be? I don't remember the exact words of the question, but her answer really, really shocked me. There was Missy May. Like, she could have said anybody, but she said, I would like to play with Ari Wilson. And like literally everybody in the place just like looked at each other, you know? And I looked at her and we just like smiled. And for me, that was like super, super humbling and very, very nice of her to say. Because she could have picked anybody. I never like really got to the bottom of why she said me, but I was very, very pleased and happy that she did.
Yeah. I love how you take us back to that moment where you're sitting on the table, you know, you're at this banquet for All-Americans, which is, by the way, for any foreigners listening, All-Americans are basically, they pick three teams of the best players from around the country. So it's 36 players. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And these players come from all different teams and they make up the cream of the crop, let's say. And to be on stage with all of the past All-Americans also usually show up too, is what you were saying. Mm-hmm.
So really, you're dealing with basically the foundations of American volleyball. And so you were in a place that I could only dream to be, Ari. So I could imagine myself in your shoes. And that's awesome because she's a great player too. And wow. I didn't know that. I'm happy to know that. That's so rad. She's so sweet too.
She is. She's very, very sweet and funny and just an amazing person.
Yeah. So listen, now that you've taken us to your proudest moment, right? I'd like to go through really quick and just in one or two sentences, up until now in your entire volleyball career, let's say, from amateur to pro, if you were to say you learned some things, right? If you were to sum them up into one or two sentences, what would you say that you had learned up until now?
I've learned a lot about the game. I would say about technical stuff, about the history of volleyball, and about the mentality of being a top player.
Mm-hmm. And going into that a little bit more, the things you need to do to be a top player.
Well, as you know, I'm a middle blocker, and before I wouldn't have, you know, if anybody asked me like what my position was, I'd be like, I'm a middle, I'm an attacker. I never said middle blocker, and I've learned now that middle blocker is everything. Like, a middle being able to block is like better than a middle being able to attack, you know. So just from that alone, like, Karch Karai has helped me, like, with blocking technique and just understanding why blocking is so important. And for that reason, I'm working on it a lot more, and I'm understanding it a lot more, and it's a bigger part of my game now.
Yeah. Middle blocker. Do you know that I started off as a middle blocker?
I could imagine.
What? Why do you say it like that? I love middle.
Imagine.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to say I can't pass?
No. That's you.
I'm just messing with you. No, I loved middle, you know, and unfortunately, it got to the point where it was too hard on my shoulder because the ball just, I never got it up really as high as I needed it. Mm. And it was rough.
The struggle.
But like you were saying, it's middle blocker. I mean, I got the most joy out of just stuffing people, shutting them down. Like, no, you cannot come on this side of the net. It's such, it's an unbelievable feeling, honestly. To this day, I could crush a ball 1 foot off the net, or I could block a ball straight down. There's nothing that comes close to blocking a ball straight down when somebody else is giving everything. So I feel you on that. And by the way, I see you. I saw a picture of you just up roofing some girl in A1 Italy. So keep doing what you do.
Good.
Yeah. So tell me, what's got you most excited these days?
I think really just being able to play the sport that I am so passionate about. Like, I've met so many cool people with playing volleyball, and I talk to a lot of different people, and really just understanding and feeling good about the technique of volleyball, because it is a craft. It's you have to keep working, and for me, it's so awesome to see that just because you're good at something doesn't mean that you can't get even better. You know, there's really no level, no ceiling to being a great person or a great player.
We've gone over so much, and really, we could talk forever, because we do talk usually when we talk. It's like on and on and on, but I love that, and I got to wrap it up for the listeners, you know. And what I want to do now is I want to get into Arielle Wilson's tip jar, okay? So what we're going to go through are some things that really could benefit other athletes, lessons you've learned, but just really kind of spitfire. So try and keep it really short answers, and let's get through this. What was holding you back from becoming the athlete you are today?
Fear.
What kind of fear?
More like doubt. Doubt in myself. So the fear of being rejected. Example, as in me not being good enough, like to be on the team, you know, like with my skills and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And when did you figure out that you were good enough?
I think when I stopped doubting myself, you know, being more positive, self-talk, and just really like asking a lot of questions, like, you know, well, why do I have to do this? And I'm very, very a logical person. So I need to know like why something happened, you mm-hmm. know? And once that's explained to me, everything else comes easily.
Yeah. And so could you give a tip? Because you and I both know there's an etiquette, there's an art. It's a delicate thing when you want to question, you know, why you're doing some things, especially with some coaches. What's a good tip for an athlete out there who might be thinking like you? They're logical and they go, well, this doesn't make sense to me, so explain it so I can be on your bandwagon. What's a good tip to do that?
I would say really watch film, watch a lot of film, video, because it's easier to wrap your mind around the visual of why this is happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody tells you or, you know, fastly says, just block, you're like, what? Why? Like, what's going on? Like, how do I do it? You know? So really me watching video was really, really helpful.
Yeah. And what's the best way that you get rid of negative thoughts while you're competing or training?
I think really just cutting it out, like just really focusing on the moment. So say like, for instance, you just made an error. Okay, forget about it. Score is 0-0. Just go into something more positive. If you didn't attack, get a block. If you didn't block, get an ace. You know, just really like being in the moment and forgetting anything else that's negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So just really finding a way to get it done.
Yes.
Yeah. Besides being an athlete, what tool or practice do you use to improve yourself as a human being?
That's a great question. I would say I'm really, really into finding out more about maybe what I want to do after volleyball. So, for instance, I want to be an emergency room nurse. So I'm really into just, like, medical stuff. So I'm always just, like, Googling or reading up on some medical issues or health problems and all that good stuff.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put you in contact with a couple of people that might be able to give you some more info.
That would be awesome.
So, listen, we all know sleep is super, super important to our performance. And if we don't already, we need to do a little more research, people, because sleep is so important. So why don't you walk us through how much sleep you normally get, how much you try to get, and then what your schedule is when you wake up. From the time you wake up and roll out of bed, what you do up until the time you show up to, say, training.
I try to get at least 8 hours of sleep, at least. But sometimes I can't sleep because I'm trying to communicate with people at home. And as you know, here in Italy, it's a 6-hour difference.
Yeah.
Time difference. So I try to nap a lot. I do a lot of napping. I'm one of those people that can ride in the car and pass out, or a plane and pass out. So if I do a lot of traveling, I'm always asleep. I usually wake up. I make breakfast, I take a shower, I listen to some music or watch TV for a little bit, and then I head to practice and I keep my headphones in before practice just so I get into a good like feeling and sense of happiness, and after that, it's balls to the wall.
And how do you like to adjust to new surroundings? So let's say you went to a new team. What are the first steps you take to adjust to that new place and team?
I make sure that the people around me feel comfortable. So I am pretty quiet when I first get to a new place, just trying to feel things out. But I make sure that I wear a smile. I make sure that I'm always, you know, when talked to, polite. Not that I'm not polite in general, but just I make an extra effort to be. And then I just try to make sure to have fun and just to remember to do my job and to go hard or leave nothing behind, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what book would you give away to an athlete as a gift and why? And this doesn't have to be a sports-related book.
What book? I don't know. There's actually, it's not really a book, but it's more like an app that I really like to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Starting Your Day Right. And it really kind of like helps you refocus. It's, you read it in the morning or whenever, you know, you think about it. And every day there's a scripture from the Bible. And along with that scripture is a description of kind of an example of what they mean by it, you know? And for me, I find that some of it really just like, is like, wow, I never even like thought about that before, or I never, maybe I forgot, you know, mm-hmm. that I need to be more humbled, or just small things that really just remind me a little bit of home, you know?
Yeah. And now speaking of other people, who was your most important mentor in life and why?
There's one for sure that like she really, really helped me a lot. Deidre Dunbar. I think you know her.
Name doesn't ring a bell.
Deidre Dunbar. She's a volleyball coach for a club team now. And she actually is the daughter of a teacher that my mom's brother had, so it's like a small world. But she's really, really been influential to me. Like I speak to her about anything and everything, and she's helped me along the way.
Who's the most important person to you right now in your life?
My honey bunny, that's what I call him. His name is Terrell McWilliams. It's going on 4 years with us, and he's really, really like helped me see things outside of being an athlete. He is not an athlete, so he really, really has a good perspective on kind of the business aspect of things, mm-hmm. and just like maybe the more street aspect of things. And so he's really, really taught me a lot over these last 4 years.
Yeah. And I've met Terrell. He is a fantastic person. He's a funny guy, really funny guy.
Funny.
So listen, I know we've talked a little bit about people, and we're coming up here now on the end of the talk. But before we get into it, I want to really key in on mentors and people in our lives that are just so important. And I know we talked a little bit earlier about being able to give back, you know, when we do accomplish something in sport, and that you have plans for that, and about elite sports students. And so what I want to do really quick is I'm going through these stats now every show, because they're just so important. And I want people, even if you hear them every time, hear them and just think with new ears, like, I've got to change this. This must change. So I'm going to read a couple stats off to you. But before I do, I want you to leave how people can reach you, how they can get in touch with you and follow you on social media, and then we'll get into that.
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Miss, M-I-S-S-R-E-L 7. So Miss Rel 7, R-E-L. And on Facebook, I have two pages. One is my personal page and one is my athletic page. The personal page is Ari Wilson. So A-R-I-E Wilson, and my athletic page is Arielle Wilson. So yeah.
And I will link that up in the show notes for everybody, so they'll just be able to click. Now, before I read these stats off, I think you've heard them before, but I want to tell people a little bit of what life could be like for most athletes after they finish. And what the stats say is that most pro careers, they only last 3 to 5 years, right? And within 2 to 5 years of athletes retiring, and that's if you don't like get injured, you don't, you know, have to stop because of some personal reason, et cetera, et cetera. This is just within 2 to 5 years of retiring, you from a full career, they are broke, unemployed, or divorced. And these are stats from the top sports in America, the NFL, the MLB, which is baseball, NBA. That's 60 to 78% of those people are unemployed, divorced, or broke. And in 1995, while there's only 8.5% of the general population of the U.S., were charged with like assault. Assault is what? Fighting. You hit somebody, something like that, or worse, right? Out of all athletes, 36% were charged with assault. And a new incident of athlete crime happens every 2 days, and that we're only talking about what they say in the media, not what isn't published. And then of all of this, that picture of athletes, okay, I want you to hold it in your mind and know that 1 out of 5 kids between 7 and 13 say that an athlete is their role model.
Wow.
And these kids, they're not aware all the time of these things, but now in the world we live in, they see it, you know, on their smartphones, on their laptops, on TV. Something's got to change. And so the goal with this show is to help athletes understand that they can't just think about athletics. They can't just think about being an athlete. You can strive to be the best. I want you to learn from the people like Aria Wilson right now on the show and really take the lessons that are outside of sport and apply them to your life from all these people too. Because like Ari, she's already planning, you know, for emergency room nurse, right? Is that what it is? And she's been educating herself on that. And that's something she has in her mind. It's a goal. So with all of this in mind, what is your definition of being beyond athletic?
I think it's when you think of being an athlete, you think about yourself a lot. Even if you're in a team sport, because it's your profession, you have to care about your image, your body, you know, anything you do. And so I think just thinking outside of that, you have to remember that people are watching you, and it's important that your character speaks for itself in a positive way, and that you never want anybody to have any negative things to say about you. So I think it's very important how you carry yourself and the things you put up on social media or the people you are associated with. And I just think that as athletes, you know, you have to think of yourself as not just an athlete, you're a person, and people make mistakes, but you have to be accountable for your actions. Just because you are an athlete does not give you the right to do things that are illegal or harmful to other people. So just really being mindful of yourself and what type of person you want people to know you as.
I love that. And I wanted to sum it up with everything that you said, and then you just summed it up so perfectly, everything that you said right there at the end. Just be mindful of who you are, you know, and what you should be doing. So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for your friendship and trust and honesty with me over the past few years. It's really a delight to have you in my life, and I hope that we continue to be friends for a long time, and hopefully we can work to help some kids get out of all of Chicagoland and the rest of the world, you know, to play sports and get some more perspective in life, because now we have so much more to offer them. So thank you so much, Ari.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And like you said, great friendship and everything. Thank you.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us. And share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at @beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.